The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher and go home." He rose and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, this little word authority, we have it any number of times since Jesus has come down from the mountain, right, as he's preached the Sermon on the Mount, and we see it over and over again. He has the authority, he has the authority, he has the authority. And the challenge for us is to hear that word and have it reshaped, actually, by what Jesus is doing, right? So instead of hearing the word and then understanding it in our own context, with our own frame of reference, what authority is, how it's exercised today, and all the rest, we want to hear that word applied to Jesus in the things that he's doing and have that word then take new shape, new form. Right? Because this is what Jesus is doing here is unlike anything that we would see when we start to think of authority. I don't know, perhaps in part, perhaps when we say, like, he has authority to cast out demons, he has authority to cure illness, we think immediately of power. Yeah, okay, he has the power to do it, or like, no one's going to stop him. That's it. But that's our own view of authority, right? Is like, someone has the power to do what they want. So it's like, okay, well, Jesus got the power to do whatever he wants, right? That's why he's doing all these crazy things, walking on the water, he's casting out demons. It's not like that really at all. In fact, what Jesus is doing in the scriptures is what God is known to have done throughout the life and span of Israel. So it's a little bit different than he's doing what Jesus has the power to do. Whatever he wants. It just so happens that he wants to do good things. So he's doing some good things. No, it's more than that. It's a different power, has to be conceived differently. And by virtue of the fact that these words come in wake of what Jesus preached in a Sermon on the Mount, then we know what the source of authority is. Source of authority is nothing other than God's generous love. And it's his embodiment of God's generous love then that allows for the healing of the paralytic, the casting out of demons, and so on and so forth. Yeah, it's really his whole mission and ministry. But what's happening here? What do we see here? We see the liberating power of love. And can I say in this sense then, we probably ought to be able to read this story as our own story. Yeah, in the sense that Jesus has come to us and he has freed us in order to be about God's work in the world. But he's freed us from our slavery to self-centeredness, selfishness, and the like. He's freed us from the corrupting force of idolatry. Right? Because I'll stand here and say time and time again, God wants to bring to life his kingdom of holiness and justice. So what then is the disfiguring force? It's our giving ourselves over, not to God as the true and living center of our hearts and lives. It's our giving ourselves over to something else as the center of our lives. So it's not then, our lives are not, say, holiness and what follows in its wake, that we treat everyone as sons and daughters of God ought to treat everyone. But it's idolatry, which then is the fertile ground for injustice, where we treat everyone according to that thing that is the central principle of our hearts and lives. Like, we give ourselves over totally to mammon, we give ourselves over totally to the accumulation of wealth, then everybody around us is a dollar figure. And some are negative and some are positive. Some are, can I say, massively negative, and some are not just... No, I don't think of anyone like that, of course. No, I don't think of anyone like that. It's just that this is a disfiguring force. And when we start thinking of people as, you know, plus or minus dollars, the whole world has changed, right? At least our whole world has changed. And the way that we treat people has changed completely. And it's just not, it's not simply wealth, mammon, right? The accumulation of wealth. It's also power, pleasure, and so on and so forth. What has Jesus done for us in coming to us? He has freed us to be able to worship the true and living God. He is in no short order, because he has revealed to us who that God is. And that God is the God of generous love. And that generous love has come and captured us. I don't know, it captivated us. I mean, I could say in many ways that love has enslaved us. It's bound us to his service. But that's our freedom. That's our freedom. So we experience this when Jesus, on the basis of faith here, faith entrusting our cause to Jesus, who has the authority of love at work in him and working through him, he liberates this man. He liberates us. Yeah, we find true freedom then in being claimed by Christ. So this is our story. That's the authority that's at work in Jesus. And we have to keep in mind that that's the authority that's at work in Jesus, because also we as his body are called to exercise that authority as well. Yeah, so in the same way that we're not then, and I said it some weeks ago and I was embarrassed of it, then I'll be embarrassed of it now, this is not the love of power, this is the power of love, right? And so often we live in the world, can I say in the dying world, that loves power. And in fact, it's all about power. But we have been called out of that world and into God's world, where the power of love reigns supreme. Now, they're not two worlds. They're two animating forces. Yeah, and the one has been defeated. The other is to reign, right? The love of power, in fact, the idolatry has been defeated. It's been defeated in the cross of Christ. Now, the only lasting force in the world, we know, will be the power of love. And so we have been won over by it. We have to give ourselves to it. We have to make it the bedrock foundation of our entire life. And we have to go out and live it. We have to go out and live it. Wherever we go, whatever we're up to today, love has to reign supreme. Love, our love for God, wholehearted love of God. That's what inflates our heart, right? Wholehearted love of God. And then giving ourselves away in his service, making of that enlarged heart an offering, again, still to him, but allowing him to fill and overflow our hearts with his love, so that the whole of his wounded world could be raised up. There's a watchword in here, right? Rise and walk. Yeah, he rose and went home. It's the same word that's used for the resurrection. We have been won by resurrection power, by his defeat of death, and now we have to go out with and overcoming the stench of death in the world. We have to bring his new life and his love to reign supreme.